Yep. Then I'll be quick.
Absolutely. So just, John, why don't we start with you, and we'll just go all the way around this way.
John O'Day.
John.
Sandy Beth.
Daniel Gashke, County Board.
April Webb, Planning Office.
Nikki Payne, Sewer Pack.
Amy Grial with the UW Extension.
Terry Ward, UW Extension.
Ray Yarman, Public Works. Zach Rodriguez, County Board.
Eric Zemes, UW Extension.
Mackenzie Rowatini, Youth and Governance.
Andy Brooks, Youth and Governance.
Keith, the County Board.
Andy Buehler, Northern County.
And then those that are sitting in the outer ring there, feel free to introduce yourself. Mark, feel free to introduce yourself as well.
Mark Guardian, Supervisor, District 21.
Eddie Merrill, Finance Director.
Chris Walton, Public Works.
Carl Holborn, Citizen.
Christy Heiser, Citizen.
Dave Giordano, Ruth Pike Wind.
I'm Monty Osterman. I'm from Racine County, Wisconsin. Land Water Conservation Association.
Great, thank you. Thanks everybody for being here. There are a few more chairs up there, and we can pull some more in if there are additional citizens that that need them. Okay.
Are you going to do citizens' comments first, and then the president? Is that what's on the agenda? Because I'm not looking at it.
Yeah. So there actually is not. Citizens' comments are not listed on the agenda for this portion of the meeting.
Part of the discussion if they have questions on the budget.
So what's that?
Part of the discussion if they have questions on the budget.
I'm sorry. What?
It's part of the discussion.
Oh, yeah. So along the way, budget. Along the way, the citizens could chime in.
Okay.
So they're part of the presentation.
All right, so we don't have a formal citizens' comments for this section. At the 7 o'clock meeting, we do. But, so those who are here from the community, we welcome you. Glad you're here. And just like any of the other committee members or other interested parties, just feel free to ask right along the way. So, great.
Right.
Just one final thing. If you do have the giant budget or, like me, the PDF on a device in front of you, those are the page numbers for the two different budget sections that we'll be dealing with today. So.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. I handed out a document like this. Has everybody got one? What it is, it's a summary of what's in the budget book. The first three pages of that packet apply to UW Extension, and the rest of it is P&D. In the first page, UW Extension has three departments. One is their office department, or the rank and file that includes all the people. That's page one. And page two, the top part, is the UW Extension, their programs, where they have classes. And they have people teach these classes, and then we charge back. And that's a levy neutral. There is no levy for the program section. And the bottom of page two is the UW Extension after-school program, where we provide services to various school systems, and then we charge them back if we do work for them. And again, that is a levy neutral. So we'll flip back to the first page. On the bottom, we just put a few notes, and you guys can ask questions, too. The key things that we want to talk about, first of all, in 2022, we're going to put into the budget a part-time person. I don't know if you guys have been out there and seen the trail and the trees and all the work that's been done the last couple years. Well, this person will help maintain that area for next year, and it's a part-time person. There's no benefits. Is she a college student or
no?
So we pay, I think it's about, it's either $12 or $15 an hour, and she takes care of all that thing. So when any people come in and they want to use, it keeps the trail up. We're getting more and more people that are using it. It's very nice. So that's what that change is. And the largest difference is in the other professional services. The budget for this year is $187,000. The budget for next year is $208,000. And if you go to page three of the packet, we put together a summary of the, this department doesn't have any people. We rent them out from UW Extension through their 136 program. And in 2021, we had 4.6 people. And you can see where the FTEs were. For 20, and a cost per FTE. And then in 2022, we've taken the 4-H person that was 0.6 and moved that up to a full-time person to better serve the 4-H is the biggest program we got. So I can't remember the exact number of people, the number of volunteers, but everything's in the hundreds. And we feel that we need that extra person in the 4-H to serve all the kids that are out here. Everything and the prices that the way UW Extension charges us, they have a flat fee per type of job, and they charge that same fee to anybody in the state who uses any one of these particular positions. So another difference from 21 to 22, the state was giving us $2,500 for professional development expenses if we needed to have any training for that. They've taken that away, but they still give us this $10,000 multi-person discount. So in total, the levy increases for UW Extension from there is no revenue for this first page. It goes from about 208 up to 231, and it's mostly due to the UW increase in the people and the part-time person. So on page 2, underneath UW Extension programs, we think we'll be spending a little bit more on the supplies that we do for these classes, but we'll get it back in revenue. So there's a little uptick there. But it's like neutral. And the same thing for UW Extension. We just left that, the budget, the same from year to year. I don't know if we've got a whole lot going there this year. So if we don't spend it, we don't spend it. We don't get the revenue. But we just budgeted it the same for next year, but left it levy neutral. Yes?
On the first
Do you want everybody to go through or just talk?
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, right. Thank you. Go ahead, Supervisor.
Okay, on the first page, $6,000 in salaries.
Yeah.
Is that the one that you were talking about?
Yeah, the right person.
Any other questions about the UW budget? Mark?
Jim, mileage and travel. It looks like the, and I don't know if that has to do with staff development costs or anything else, but you're clicking along at 9,000. You're expected to be at 9,000 this year. You're only at 278 as of the end of June, but I'm sure it's built up since then. Now you're dropping it down to 7,000, yet we see gas prices are going up, and they're talking about even continuing to go up.
It'll just be less travel with COVID and all that. People just aren't going anywhere and doing stuff.
But you spent 9,000 in 2021, and you dropped it down 2,000. You're just assuming you're not going to travel as
exactly,
much?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so you're reducing travel. Thank you. Can I talk about revenue side then, too? Because I do have a few questions. Ask anyone who was at last night. So. State Clean Sweep Grant. Is this something that just, you may get it, you may not, so you just don't budget that revenue? Because it wasn't budgeted for in 20, it wasn't budgeted for 2021. Looks like we're going to get $4,310 near the end of the year, and then it's not budgeted for 2022. So.
I know it's something we don't do every
year,
and it's,
like
there's nothing for next year.
It's every 2 to 3 years.
You just don't budget for it, and if it comes in, it's great, right? Mm-hmm. Or do you know you're going to get it? Like, you know you're not going to get it in 2022 now?
Actually, I'm pretty new to the process, so I'm relying on support here.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, but I can certainly find that answer and get back to you. Does anybody know when it is scheduled next?
Not for sure.
We don't know yet, but it is typically
okay.
2 to 3 year, on a 2 to 3 year
right.
rotation.
Cycle. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Carryover. Where's the carryover come from in revenue? You have $53,844 was carrying over this year. We adopted nothing and then we modified to that. So we knew at some point in time before the budget was, after the budget was set, and then before the end of, before July 1st, we also had $53,844. What's that carry over from?
That goes back to, well, I got back 10 years before I found where this program here made money. And every year since then, cumulatively for the last 10 years, maybe the program would make a couple hundred dollars, maybe lose a couple hundred dollars. So that's real old money going back, and we hope to have to not really use it. So
is this,
we don't need
coming
it.
From
it's,
a reserve?
It's levy free without it, but I know Patty's raising her hand.
Is this coming like from a reserve or from monies that weren't spent?
It's money that they made long years ago and kind of banked away into
okay,
this.
Okay, it's money that was made in revenue that was tucked away in an account somewhere. Is that like a dedicated account for Fund 100?
There's no account for it. It just went back to the general fund.
When we do the carryover resolution in April every year, this funding gets carried over. It's one of the items that you approved to carry forward.
Right.
So that
it just doesn't sweep into the general fund for the county?
If we chose to lapse it to the general fund, it would, but they think that they may need that revenue at some point, so it's like a fund balance that carries forward. You approve that.
Okay, so it comes from excess funds, not necessarily general.
Yeah,
right. Okay. Again, I'm only asking because I don't know.
Sure.
You can ask all the questions you want. I'd much rather you do it here and everybody understand than have it go to. So go right ahead.
Sometimes it's great to be the idiot in your room because I'll ask questions other people are thinking but not asking. So. Then after school project fund 100 here, we budgeted 6,600 this year. Looks like we're going to get 12,600. Do we know why that is? And then we're budgeting 12,600 for next year. Should we be looking?
I don't think we're going to spend anything, and I don't think we're going to get anything.
Well, you have.
We don't know for sure.
But you got it in revenue.
If we haven't gotten $12,600 in revenue this year,
it's projected. 2021 projected at 12/31, 12,600 in revenue.
Jim,
can I speak to this?
Yeah.
I believe these are the funds, if I'm understanding correctly, and I'll play my new card frequently here, but I believe these funds, as I understand it, are from the grants with Kenosha Unified School District for after-school programming that was provided over the course of several years. So according to the language of the grant, these funds should be used toward Kenosha Unified School District schools, and our plan is to roll those out with the positive youth development educator. I think that we're still trying to figure out how best to do that given the situation of COVID,
okay,
et cetera.
Please understand, I'm not questioning what you're doing with the money. I'm questioning we budgeted $6,600 in revenue. There's no one seems to know why we're getting it. But you know where it's from, and then we end up with $6,000 on top of that. I'm like, how did we not know that when we budgeted? I don't know. Some things are contracts. We know we're going to get X amount of dollars, or we're going to spend X amount of dollars. Other things are grants. We're not quite sure what we're going to get, but we know we're going to get something. So we may or we may not budget for it. I just want to know how is it that we missed 100% off on our estimates, and then we come back and budget that amount. We know that's true, or is it going to be more, or back to the 6,600?
So far, last year, we didn't receive anything or spend anything.
Right.
This year, we haven't received anything or spent anything.
You received the 6,600?
No, we haven't received anything.
But you're saying you're going to get 12,600?
Yeah, we might get it, but we don't have anything going, so we just left the forecast the same as the budget.
This is a levy.
Yeah, there's no cost. If we don't get the revenue, we don't spend it. So it's zero.
I guess I'm confused on why would you even put down $12,600 when you adopted and modified it to $6,600. I just don't. The process is what I'm confused by. I'm not sure.
We just didn't change it, and we don't know what we're going to do.
But you did change it. I know you didn't change it for 2022, but you changed it from the adopted 2021 and modified on 6/30 from $6,600. To project it at 12/31 in 2021 to 12,600. Why did that change happen?
Does COVID have anything to do with this? If this is a school-based thing, we did not look at any activity in last year, and perhaps the expectation was that in the fall, with school back in session, these things would happen.
in 2019, you didn't get anything, but in 2020, you adopted a $6,600 budget. You got $6,600, and you went to 2021 with $6,600. And previous year, after school, was $4,000, and in 2018, that's what you got. So I'm assuming that's what you thought, and that's what you got. But here, you thought $6,600, got $12,600, you decided to make it $12,600. Where did the $6,000 come from, or where will it be coming from?
It won't be. It'll be zero.
I'm sorry?
It'll be zero.
So it's going to stay $6,600?
If you were to ask me right now what that projected number is for this year,
yeah,
I would say zero.
So
isn't it with six in June, we thought maybe we'd get half of it. But right now, we're not going to get anything. We won't spend anything. We won't get any revenue. Bottom line is zero. So for next year, we don't know what it's going to be. So, but you have to put something in there.
So why don't you put $6,600?
But,
again,
well,
I'm
I'll change it to $6,600, but the expenses.
Especially your definition has even confused me further, because you're saying we've got nothing, we're not going to get anything. So let's increase our projection by $6,000, but we didn't get anything. Then we thought we were going to get $6,600. Do you see my confusion?
That's, no, I don't.
You don't?
No, because we don't know what we're going to get in next year. It could be anything. Our guess, it's a guess. It's an estimate. It's a,
I understand,
it's a forecast.
That. But if you didn't get the $6,600, why are you increasing it to $12,600? I would say you'd keep that at $6,600. Just saying it. But that's up to the board. It's not up to me. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, any other further questions, especially from the committee? Yes?
I have two of them. Right here on the first page, it says programs include after-school ambassadors. Would you just tell me what that is?
Sure. After-school ambassadors, and I might lean on some of my colleagues to help, because I was in a different role with Extension prior to this.
Yep.
But as I recall, Bethany Sorcy, former positive youth development educator / 4-H, provided programming to after-school programs in more than one district, as I understand it.
So it's Carthage students that are enrolled in a mentoring program for, I believe it's Frank Elementary School. So there was a partnership between Carthage, and then KUSD was paying for essentially this after-school ambassadors program that brought college students into KUSD schools.
So there is no fee, I mean, they're not paid any salary or anything.
I'm not sure.
The Carthage students?
The Carthage students, if there were costs there.
I don't believe there was a stipend, but I'd have to look into that to get more information. I'd have to dig through some records.
Okay.
We budget as if we do have to pay for that.
Okay.
So if you pay it, if you have to pay the students or whoever's providing that service, we will bill back to whoever or take it out of a grant. Now, if we get a grant and don't have to pay anything, then it just is income.
Okay. And under salaries here, salaries and overtime, it's nothing, but other professional services, $208,000. What are the other professional services?
Get out of the packet I handed out, that's page 3.
Yeah. Well, it's page on our book 332. Well, it's probably.
It's this page right here.
Okay.
These are the folks that are UW Extension employees, and Kenosha County signs a contract with UW, and they provide these positions. Many of them are here at
okay.
these prices.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, and our youth and governance representatives, this is likely the first time you've been in a budget hearing like this. You know, as always, feel free to ask questions and participate in the discussion as well. Anything else, committee members or others from the community? Supervisor?
I'm still lost for Supervisor Nordigan's lost. On that $12,600.
I trust fund left over, it is not affecting anything. I realize this is confusing, and I'm sorry if you feel that the projection should have been more accurate, but at the time that the budget was put together, it was based on the information.
So if we reduce it down to back to 6,600 from...
Then you would have reduced the expense to 6,600, the revenue to 6,600, there would be no revenue.
Okay.
On the worksheet that was provided on page 2, you can see it a little clearer because the revenue and expenses overlap each other.
$6,000 you carried over in 2018 for this other fund 100, and that went all zero afterwards. And then, I can show you the 2019, it's basically the same way. It's just really confusing. We're sitting here trying to figure out where all their money's got. $6,600, okay, there's your in and out. That was $6,600 plus $6,600.
It stays
so
in the reserve. It's just sitting in the reserve. We didn't carry it over for anything. It just, whatever money was there, just went into the reserve. We track it. So we keep track of what it is, but there is no actual cash or anything laying around. That's what happened to those funds for those programs. that's what happens.
All right, Terry has mentioned a couple of times that she's new. She's
going to... I'm sorry.
Okay.
Did your question get answered, Supervisor?
Well, I don't have any questions.
Let me just make this comment here. I was just going to say, Terry's mentioned a couple of times that she's new. Literally, she's just new as of this fall, and so we're very thankful to have Terry in this role as the executive director. So she came on long after, as we heard, the budget was finalized in July, and so she came on long after this was finalized. She's not new to UW Extension. She's new to this role, and we're very happy to have you in this role. So just wanted to let those who are unfamiliar with that
know. I don't think it has anything to do with
no.
I mean, the information is great.
Right.
But I showed it all the way back to 2018. It's been doing. If she just started, it had nothing to do.
Well, I was just making a general comment about that, yeah.
So. And if it's helpful, I can certainly contact former directors. Teddy and Bev would probably have some great insight about where exactly things have come from, what happened up until I took the office at the end of August, and I can certainly get you that information if you'd like it.
Well, if I've kind of grasped some of this, no matter what carries over, it's an in and an out. If we spend it, we had it coming in. If we didn't, it went back into wherever it came from, the magic little box, whatever that is. And then the next year, if we go ahead and decide whatever to put it in there, we bring it back out of it and we put it in there. And if that doesn't happen, it goes back in the box. Okay.
The supervisor, did you do?
Well, I was just going to make a comment that 12.6 really, it's immaterial. We can put any numbers there.
Yeah.
It's not going to change anything. We change 66 or 6 or whatever, then we change the expenses to 6,000, and it's still zero. It doesn't really matter.
Supervisor Pat?
I was just wondering, does the state contribute anything to the salaries of the University of Wisconsin staff?
Yes.
Terry's. Thank you, State of Wisconsin, for Terry.
Mine, and then at varying levels with different staff members. Yes, this is a flat fee. When there was a merger or the change, an extension merged back under UW-Madison, the fee to counties or that contract changed. So instead of having salaries all over the board with different counties, different program areas, different positions, Madison is trying to align and charge a flat fee that keeps the county an investing partner in our programming and is much more simple from an administrative and finance perspective.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions on the UW budget, proposed budget? All right, well, Jim, do you have anything else for us on this portion?
For UW Extension, no.
Okay. All right, then if there is no further questions or discussion, I'll entertain a motion that we adopt this proposed budget and send it on.
Motion
has been made by Supervisor Nudo, seconded by Supervisor Rodriguez. We'll do a roll call vote. Youth and Governance. I'm sorry, not a roll call vote, just a voice vote. Youth and Governance. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. All right, committee members, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, nay. All right, this UW Extension portion passes, and we will pass that on. Okay, and then that takes us to the next section of our budget, Department of Planning and Development.
Okay, I should say one thing. It's the UW Extension budget approved by this committee. It will be reviewed by the Public Works Committee next Monday night. And we kind of do that as an advisory thing before it goes to the Finance Committee. The authority for committees approving the budget, which you folks just kindly did, rests here. But Ray and I, we provide a lot of guidance to UW Extension. We, Chris and I, keep the books, and Ray gives them guidance. So we always bring it to that committee to have them look at it, seeking their approval, so then when it goes to the Finance Committee, it's been totally vetted by two different groups. The planning development part is approved here, but that also needs the approval on Monday night of the page, I'm going to work off of this document here, which is page 4, P&D. It's in your book. It's on 133 through 157. Page 4 is the office department. On page 5, planning and development also has four other budgets. There's board of adjustment, there's tree planting, there's pre-development, and there's land and water management. Tree planting, pre-development, land and water management are three of the divisions that are levy neutral. We collect money for the services, and then we pay the bills, or we pay the bills and then collect the money back, whichever way you want to look at it. Board of adjustment, there's three people, and they have per diem fees and some other potential expenses. So I'm going to flip back to page 4, P&D budget. I'm going to talk for a minute. Andy's an expert on what happens there. I'll just give you the highlights. On the expense side, there's five people in this department. There's no new headcount, moving from 21 to 22. Any of the changes are either in raises that they have coming for their schedules, or changes in benefits that they might have made if they selected from single family or any of that kind of stuff. Contracted services will see a little decrease in the consulting budget, and there is a carryover from 20 to 21 of consulting. I forget the actual account number, but that account number, the actual contracted services part of it, is going to be a little less in 22 than in 21. We have separated out a new service that we hope to undertake. For the last couple of years, Andy has been working with three or four of the local municipalities who provide building inspection services for the folks in their village or town. And it's Brighton, Paris,
Randall.
So we've been talking to them to take over and administer their program so they don't have to do it. Right now they make a little bit of money on it. So they spend money hiring people to do these inspections or do it internally, and then they charge a fee back. And they've been making a little bit of money, and then they've been using that to supplement other areas of their budget. But administratively, we would like to take that over, because we have a whole bunch of folks here who are experts in this kind of thing here too. It'll provide a better service, one-stop shop, because they can come here to get some permits that they already get here, and then they can get these other permits too. So what we did, we put in, and we have some, we did some research on what they thought, what actually happened in their departments, the revenue that they would get, which is in the revenue section, inspection fee revenue, and that's about a half year. Our plan is to do this for a half year. There was about $100,000 worth of revenue that these various townships or villages took in, and then they would spend it. If they didn't spend it hiring the inspectors, they would give it back to the townships, because right now they're getting the money. But we think we could do a better job, and they think we could do a better job, and overall provide a better service to the people in the county at probably a lower price. So it's levy neutral for Kenosha County, but it's a service to the citizens. So you see $50,000 of inspection service expense, and you see $50,000 of inspection fee revenue. Those two kind of cancel each other out as far as the levy goes. Supplies were forecasting, budgeting them to be about the same, and fixed expenses are insurance and other things that are provided by the finance department downtown, or our insurance people. So we go down to the land conservation revenue from the state aid. We're budgeting that to be about similar from 21 to 22. On the permit side, this does not include these new permits. This is just the permits or land use fees that we do here. That's going to go up about $15,000. Summer's revenue, last year we budgeted $50,000. We did not take in $50,000. So we budgeted, and we didn't last year, we won't this year. So we're cutting that down to where we think it'll be, about $35,000. Development review and verification is about the same. And from 20 to 21, we carried over $30,000 worth of which is included up above in contracted services, so we carry over the revenue in order to be able to pay for that. So in total, the levy is increasing from 566 up to 608, or $40,000, and it's a combination of the salary part up to top and offset by a decrease in summer's revenue. And that's pretty much, I think, Andy, I don't know if you want to add anything to what I talked about.
Nothing additional for this section unless you have some questions.
Anything at all? Supervisor Rodriguez.
Where did the $113,000 for land improvements get spent?
Are you in the capital section now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll answer. Are there any questions on this operations section?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll get to it. It's part of the whole explanation of the capital side.
On the fixed, what did you say the fixed increase was due to?
Let me go to the detail. That's usually the section where we capture all the insurance.
Okay, so this is just insurance. I know you mentioned a couple things.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Public liability insurance.
Thank you, Chris. I don't know if you heard you. Have you said public liability insurance?
Yeah. It went from 15,000 to roughly 17.7 from 20 to 21.
So it's like about 15% increase?
That's a number that just our insurance company tells us this is what you're going to pay for insurance.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. What about 15% increase?
But it dropped about 25% from 20 to 20.
From 2020.
It was 22,500 in 2020. So then it went down, and now it's going back up.
I'm okay when it dropped.
Yeah. We're all okay when it drops.
I'm not asking that question, Mark. Okay, and the personnel, you have about $15,000 more. Is it just pay raises or?
Pay raises or, let me see here. The salary part of it, budget-wise, went from 384 to 394, so that's 10 of it. And then insurance, the medical insurance is up 5,000. Okay. And there's a little bit of FICA and.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
One question. Over here you have summer's revenue at 35,000, and on page 138 it shows 85,000. What am I not understanding here?
Did you ask about the summer's revenue?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought.
Question two.
What they added the inspection fee revenue into that. There's inspection fee revenue here.
Okay.
But in the budget book, they just combined it into that account.
Okay, so 35 and 40 would be 75,000 rather than 85? Or am I adding wrong?
You're looking at the wrong number.
Okay. Why does Summers pay a revenue fee to the county?
So they're a village, and so we have a contract with them to provide planning services. For the county, we provide planning services to all the towns at no cost. But being a village, they're at full autonomy. And so they hire the county, our staff, to provide planning services for them. And so there is an agreement in the contract of how much that is worth, and then the county keeps all the revenue from all the fees that that we take in for rezonings and permits and things like that. And then if there's a shortfall, then they pay the difference. And so what Jim had indicated, the difference has been about $35,000 the last several years, not 50 as we had originally put in the budget previously.
So you have an actual agreement with Summers?
We do.
Thank you.
All right, any other further questions?
Do we not know, because I'm just looking at the actual as of the end of June, do we not know that number to the end of the year?
For which account?
For the Summers revenue. I'm just looking at the projected.
Yeah, we...
That just gets
for sure, but we're pretty certain it's going to be around $35,000.
That's where we're tracking. We're tracking right there.
But we don't know until... Year,
until
right?
we figure out what came in and then figure out the cost, right?
And they haven't indicated that they intend on changing that in the future, correct?
They have not indicated
change.
They like us.
Means you're doing a good job. Yeah. Mark?
I did have a question, Jim. Anybody said something about it? I didn't catch everything you said. Other professional services. It's going up $80,000 because of the Pike River project consultation, or is that what that? I missed something on that. So,
The original budget for last year or for this year was, I think, 50.
Well,
hold on, let me just
adopted was $20,000, that was modified to 50.
Yeah, we added $30,000 on by carrying over.
I'm sorry.
We carried over $30,000 from 20. 21 to bring it up to 50. Next year's budget for that particular account went to 80.
Yeah.
So we plan on spending more next year than this year, and we're going to do additional projects in.
Well, we're taking on the comprehensive plan update. So that's a 10-year update that we hired SewerPAC to do that for us. And we have funds in there for when we, I don't know if you remember in previous years, we talked about since our staff does the review for tax delinquent properties, when the property goes tax deeded, if any of those end up being contaminated, we have funds there to be able to do phase one and phase twos and do cleanups. Right.
That's the main reason we added on the carryover.
Okay, but when you mentioned SewerPAC, that line below it is the SewerPAC service, so that additional work doesn't go into that line that SewerPAC's going to do?
Correct. So SewerPAC provides a lot of services to us, but to do the comp plan, we're hiring them to do that service. That's not
so
a
that's
service.
Just going to stay inside the comp plan now. It's not going to be separated out to
right.
SewerPAC.
Correct. Yeah. So SewerPAC has a fee that every county pays by percentage of how much is their value.
Okay.
But that extra fee is because we're hiring them to do that. We could hire another consultant to do it, but we don't want to. We want to
right, otherwise that price will go up.
But they've done it before for us. They have the experience and they know the count as well.
Okay. And then what was operating transfer out? What was that? You might have said it, but I missed it. What specifically does that mean?
I don't know what that is.
Well, we didn't budget anything for it, and then we modified it to $45,000, and we spent $45,000. So we didn't budget for it in 2020. We didn't budget
didn't
for
spend
it in 2021, and then we went to $45,000, and now we're not budgeting for 2022. So I'm confused why we spent $45,000 on no, and you didn't know what it is.
We didn't spend anything. It's just
what?
A bookend. Well, we didn't. It's just a bookend. I'm looking at Patty to.
Why is it in here then? If you didn't spend anything, why did we modify the budget $45,000 and then not spend it and say we did spend it?
I'll check right.
Okay, please.
I don't have the information.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I do have one.
Yes,
more.
Yes.
It has to do with bonding. So the $2,243,000 in bonding is for the Pike River project. Land improvements. I don't know. Is that?
Yes. Does anybody have any questions off of page 4, the operations side? We answer all that. Because then we'll go to capital. page 6 is the capital plan for Public Works. Basically, there's one project. It's the South Pike River project. There's amounts in 22, 23, and 24. The total for the expense coming out of the project will be about $16 million. We spent some already. So that's a different, that's why it's in, I'll talk about what we spent in a second. The $2,243,000 is two numbers. There's $188,000 worth of design. And the rest of it, it's a little over $2 million, I don't know, $205,000, whatever the difference is there, on land. And the land number comes from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, who's going to end up giving us $10 million for this project. That we won't get that money until 23 or 24, maybe. Those 2 years as construction happens. So the first year, the county's responsible for buying the land and paying a chunk of this design fee. We pay half, and Army Corps pays a half. This year, we have spent about 300-some thousand, and the Army Corps has to match it for planning and planning services. Not design services, but the planning, feasibility studies, and some other things. They did a study to see if there's any woolly mammoths out there. They do an architectural survey. They do a drain tile survey, and that kind of work. So that's going on right now. We've actually spent some money. But next year is land and design. So that's where the 2243 comes from. And Supervisor Rodriguez, you had asked a question before about
the $113,000
that we got this year. Yeah, that is on these studies, and we have more to spend.
That's part of that $300,000 or so.
It's part of the $375,000 that we're committed
spending.
To. Yes.
So you fully expect you're going to spend $586,000.
Yeah. We have to. We signed an agreement that we would.
So where's that $300,000 number coming from? Because this number's
that was in prior years' budgets. Either we got grants for $100,000 and the rest got bonded in either 20 or some of it goes back before that too.
We received $180,000 in grants from the Fund for Lake Michigan to offset some of those costs, to do some of that work, and then the rest has been budgeted in years past.
So right now it looks like total bonding for that entire project is going to be $4,243,000, according to your page 6. And revenues coming in from grants will be $11,438,000. That'd be like from the Army Corps and others?
Yes.
And of that $4,243,000, $2,243,000 is bonding for 2022.
Correct.
Is there any other way of finding any other money to pay, to find another $4,243,000?
Yes, there is. We put some of that money into, well, I don't know, Andy, I can't remember the names of all the people that we've got out. Maybe I should just flip to page 7 and 8 and go through that. Some of your questions might be answered. Now, we did presentations on this South Pike project, several of them, to both of the committees. I know we did one to P&D. Our committee, Public Works, has seen all this. And I just wanted to refresh everyone's memory about what the project is, what the benefits are. And after I'm done, we have several esteemed citizens here that know much more about this than I do, who will speak, and they're part of our presentation, who will support this. But the project, the Pike River, it really, there's a north branch which flows from Racine down to, if you've gone out by Pets and you get right at 31 where the big wooden bridge is, then a south branch comes up from actually Highway 50 right over here and goes all the way north. And you experts, I'm just allowing me this. And they join there, and then they join there. Sorry, Dave, I'm not that technical. And then it flows through Pets, and we've done a lot of work in Pets too. If you've been out there, show up Friday, we're going to have the ribbon cutting. It's really cool out there. And it goes through. And if you play golf at the country club, you probably hit your ball into the water there. And then it flows out down to the Pike, mouth of the Pike River by the Lafayette. So the goals of this project, basically, they fall into three categories. There's lots of environmental goals. There's quality of life goals. There's some financial goals, too. This will greatly reduce the flooding. It'll help to store and treat stormwater runoff and reduce erosion. It's going to improve the water quality, not only in this chunk, but all the way downstream, as that's what the Pike River project is doing also. It's contributing that. We'll put a real nice trail next to this so people can ride their bikes or walk, and it'll help hook up some of the other trails that we already have within the county. It will increase land values in that area and create some development opportunities. So there's a multitude of goals that fall into these various categories. We're reminding people of the timeline. We've been doing a feasibility for the last 2 years. 2022, there's the land acquisition and design, and we will be, there are grants that are out there that I don't know exactly whether it's, is there Fund for Lake Michigan? You know better who these potential ones are, or else Dave would know for sure. So anything, the way the project works, the Army Corps gives us $10 million. Whatever the project costs after that is up to us. The forecasts that they have, and they're getting more accurate, are still in the total neighborhood of $16 million. So anything we can come up with to reduce our $6 million in the next 2 years is gravy. So we'll be doing construction in 24 and 25. And then the budget is down on the bottom. The feasibility, the total project there was 750. We're up for half of that. The design is 375. That's the 188 I talked about. The land is around 2 million. It might be a little bit more than that. So the total project was 16 million 6. Some of it we've already spent. Some of it's already been budgeted. What you see here is what's left to be spent and budgeted. And the funding, there's $10 million from the Army Corps, and the rest comes from grants and non-federal funds, which is us. Yes, sir.
Supervisor Noodle indicated a question earlier.
Okay, I do have quite a few questions. I don't know where to start. Number one is, the last time in the presentation, we said the cost was going to be roughly about $16 million, with up to $10 million. From the federal. Now, are we getting the 10 million? I know the question was asked a couple different times. This committee and also public works, and the answer was always up to 10 million. Now, is it 10 million or it was still up to 10 million? That would be one question.
So the 10 million is the maximum that Army Corps can spend for federal dollars on a project. And that 10 million is 65% of the project cost. So that's basically, 65% of the 16.6 million. So if for some reason, I think the person you were speaking to, his name was Alex, had indicated if the project ends up being less than 16.6, and the 65% that their share is, it might end up being a little less than 10 million, which also means our 6 million would be a little less than that as well.
So they're committed to 65%.
Correct.
Okay, no matter what's the.
It is, in other words, it's still up to 10 million, it's not 10 million.
65% up to 10
million. Right. 10 million is the cap, and it could be less if the project costs less.
Okay, my other question is, included in that, we have roughly about $1.5 million in grants or contribution from different sources or whatever, but we do not have a firm commitment for any of that money.
Correct.
Okay, now in the past, I think there is a couple projects, one for sure, that we started with the idea that we could get grants or contributions from people. Well, we didn't get anything. But we went in and spent so much money there that we're stuck with that. So in this case, we're saying, well, we only need, roughly $4 million, our cost, because we're getting that $1.5 million coming from outside. That money we don't have it, so we cannot really count on that. So why do we even put it in when we don't really know we're going to get the money? And then what we do, we're going to go out and spend $2 million next year or something like that, and then what? We don't get the $1.5 million, which we saw in other different projects. that we did not get any money. On one project, I've been asking for the last 6 months where we're standing, and pretty much every time I have, well, we'll talk about it next month, we'll talk about it next month. We don't have anything. So,
What project is that? I'm going to interrupt you because I don't know.
The courthouse. The courthouse.
Okay, I don't know who you. Never mind. We'll do this stuff with I.
Well, it was talked about at the other committee. That's why I just mentioned afterwards that happens in Denver, and we don't know. Now, the other thing is, we spent about roughly, and again, you see a good roughly numbers, about $2 million to purchase the properties there. In the past, especially for the last couple of years, we've been purchasing properties which have been complaining about it. And that was, I don't know if you can call it a promise or whatever you want to call it, that we would change. That came from administration, that they would change the way they deal. I'm trying to find the right words here. I don't want to say one thing for it. When they go out to purchase properties. And one of the things they say they were going to contact me, you know, being in real estate for over 40 years, they said, we'll contact you, you know, we'll ask your input or whatever. We never heard anything. So now we're talking about $2 million. In the past, we had a lot of problems. I'm not going to go into it because, again, it's legal things. When we purchased properties where we county had to pay a good chunk of money. Now we're going this year to $1 million. What are we purchasing? How many acres are we buying? You know, what properties are we buying?
Yeah, so
we don't really know anything on that.
Well, we do know the properties.
Well,
and
you might know, but we don't. You know, this year was brought up to us about a month ago. We're talking about spending $16 million, whether it comes from Kenosha County residents or the state or the federal. We're talking about $16 million. And we don't really know what's going on. Another thing that I'm, I wouldn't even say I'm against it, but I've got concerns about it, is we want to put a, on both sides of the river, we want to put a, what do you call it?
Trail.
Trails and everything. Do we need on both sides? Or can we just get away by doing it on one side?
That's the plan, just one side.
Well, we're told, I don't know where it is now, what side. We're told before there was going to be on each side.
No, that's what was done in Mount Pleasant, but that's never been said about the Kenosha. No, it's in the, I have a map here and I can show you. It's only on one side. But anyhow, it's going to be.
So, basically, those are the concerns that I have. And the last time, I mean, maybe it was done just like you said, Mount Pleasant or whatever, it was saying
Pleasant,
were,
yeah, that is
there,
correct. Yeah.
But they say there were trails on both sides, and maybe. I assumed it was not going to do that. I assumed that this was going to be the two sides. Okay, if it wasn't said, but I know we're talking about having two sides, so maybe we're talking about the Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, Mount Pleasant at the very north end, they ended up moving around one of the ponds.
I mean, I still have a lot of questions on this. And I know maybe not all the questions can be answered tonight. I believe Jim said this will be voted on Monday again on Public Works. I happen to be in the Committee on Public Works. I'm going to vote no tonight, and but I'll leave the door open pretty much, not to flip-flop, to be able to change my vote on Monday. Hopefully I can get my answer, my question answered before on Monday, and but for tonight I'm going to.
All right, Jim?
Well, maybe if we listen to these folks.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
You might get your question answered.
Is that okay?
I just want to know, I like this project. I think it's a project that's needed. It's a long time in the coming. The opportunity is now. But I think the presentation that was given to this committee and to Public Works, and Supervisor Newman and I saw both of those presentations, was a little misleading. And hearing tonight that we weren't going to have, there's no plan to have a trail on both sides, is news to me, because I also was led to believe that we were going to have a trail on both sides. So I think going into the future, I would appreciate it if I'm on the county board next budget. Supervisor Nuno, I'm sure, would appreciate it. There's be a little bit more time involved in presenting these, or making this presentation, because the other thing, too, is for funding, we have grant slash non-federal funds. That leads somebody to believe, especially somebody who's not well depth and, you know, well involved in county board proceedings, that it's grants and non-federal funds from some other source, right? Where we know that that could include levy coverage or bonding or what have you. So I just think that in the future, that be taken into consideration, make this very black and white for people. And the other question I have is this $16 million is only for phase one? Is that correct? Have the studies that we've done so far, have they given us any indication? The door's got to stay open. Have the studies given any indication for what phase two is going to be? We don't know that yet.
No.
And I guess to Dave, we know that this is still worth doing because this is upriver, upstream, however you want to say it. You know, it's south, but it's up. So it's not going to get ruined like if we did the farther northern part. Just for those of us, for those who weren't at the presentation, how many millions of gallons of water does this project anticipate holding that would save a lot of grief for those downstream?
Yeah, so I think the first phase, the projected acreage of wetlands is, was it 100 acres? 100
some acres, right.
Yeah, so there's a Purdue University study that shows an acre of wetland a foot deep can hold over 330,000 gallons of stormwater. So if you multiply that number out, you get approximately, I think it's 45,000 or 45 million gallons. There's some leeway there, but that's how you get to that number. It's an approximate number unless we measured every square acre after the project was done. It could give you the exact number, but that's a really good estimate to go by. That is the main part of this project. The main reason we're doing it is to reduce the stormwater impacts that happen downstream. And we have some people from the downstream areas that have those impacts here today. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and I just want to add too that nearly 4 years ago when I was elected to the county board, this issue, the Pike River, was something that I spoke with the county executive about. He wanted to know what are some things you'd like to see. And this was one. He said, there's, you know, I got something in the pipe. He told me that for years. Just wait, just wait, just wait. And as the years went on, he kind of gave me more and more information. And so I don't want anybody to be confused either that this isn't a, if we don't do it now, the $10 million's gone forever, because it could come back. But this is, if we don't do it now, the $10 million could be a long time away again. And we need to take advantage of it while we have it here. And so it's for those reasons, and, you know, I don't recognize a ton of the faces here from the public, but for those of you who know me on a more intimate level and what I do, you know that a big part of my life is upstream from this, right? And so we want it done there. It's something we've needed for a long time, and other farmers as well have been asking to get this done for a long time because this so much so affects their livelihood, and it's something that a lot of these farmers pass on from generation to generation their farms. It doesn't just help this generation of farmers, it helps generations of farmers for years and years to come. So it's for those reasons I'm going to support this project.
It would be a good time to let those speak. And
that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. So, Dave, do you want to lead off, or do you want to?
I've spoken at both the presentations. I'd love to have some comments and cohorts.
Well, why don't we start out here over here? State your name and where you're from and who you represent.
You got to be cognizant of the time for the public hearings. Right. You can't start too late. You can't start early. We advertise for 7 o'clock, so that's why I'm usually peeking over the road. We may have to continue budget discussion if they don't get done with that now. I let it go another 5-10 minutes, but that's for sure.
Big supporter of this project. I feel like it'll be a once in my lifetime opportunity to see this work get done that's long been needed. I personally experience the flooding of Pike River on an annual basis, both in our neighborhood and at the golf course, Commissary Country Club down the street from where I live. I am a member at Kenosha. Township for the past 30 plus years on the board of directors there and on the restoration committee. We're about 80% of the way through restoring historic golf course designed in 1920 by Donald Ross, opened in 1922. About to celebrate our centennial next year. In my time there, I've observed dozens of flooding events, usually 2 to 4 events a year, except for this year when we had the drought. It's the first year I've not seen a flood, so it's very rare, but every time that happens, the course is shut down for a week, and there's extensive cleanup of debris, silt, sometimes damage to bridges, not to mention what happens downstream of us or upstream of us, which is considerably more damage than what we see. Usually we'll lose 1 to 3 weeks a year with the flood cleanups and getting the course playable again. I don't have any idea what that converts to in terms of dollars lost, but it's a significant amount of time for a short season. So again, I'd just like to express my support for the project for the entire South Branch and the areas that I see impacted. Thank you.
I just need to interject here. We are listed as starting our next hearing at 7 o'clock. It's about 7:10 right now. That clock is a little fast, but it's about 7:10 right now. I think about 5 minutes is about the most we could go with this meeting. I wouldn't want to push that meeting any later just because it was publicly listed at 7 o'clock. So we may need to adjourn this and reschedule if we don't have time to finalize voting on this budget. So just want to make the committee aware of that, that because we do have the 7 o'clock hearing that we're ready late on, I don't want to push that meeting any later. So, okay, go ahead.
So, I'm Carl Holborn. I'm a resident of Kenosha, a sixth-generation Kenosha, and this is your supervisor. I welcome your comments and asking hard questions. That's what we want our elected officials to do, to ask really hard questions. I look back at the ancestors that I had here in Kenosha, and when they set up Petrifying Springs Park, and when they set up the lakefront, okay, there was lots of kind of messy issues at that, very similar to the issues that you raised there, right? But this is a big deal. This is $10 million that we're going to get, and it's going to be green space, okay, that we're going to get that's going to bookend our lakefront. And it's going to be very special, and as we see all this development, which is wonderful, if Kenosha turns into a area that just has development and no green space, it's not going to be as livable as we want it to be. So as a sixth generation Kenoshan who loves to walk at Pets and loves to be at the lakefront, we need more green space. And that's why I'd ask this committee to support this project, because I think it's going to be good for Kenosha. It's going to get $10 million of federal money here into our economy. And in six generations from now, people are going to be saying, thank you very much for the work that you've done here. So please support this project.
Sir?
Thank you very much. My name is Monty Osterman. I'm from Racine and have been in public service in one fashion or another all of my adult life, actually. Decade on the Racine County Board, in which my favorite committee was the Planning and Development Committee. Happy to see the Youth and Governance here, was very involved in starting that program for Racine County. And I continue my public service now as chair of the state Wisconsin Land and Water Conservation Association, which is comprised of all the staff, department heads, county supervisors in our entire state. To make up that association, I'm the board chair. Is there anybody here on land conservation, land and water? All right. So you know what we do. And I'm here to encourage you to support this project. I wanted to make a lot of points about the economic impact, the health impacts, but that's already all been said. One of the roles that I play for our association is to represent Wisconsin at the National Conservation Districts. I was able to, 2.5 months ago, bring a leadership contingent from National Conservation Districts here to Kenosha County in Racine. We toured several of the sites that have been built and some that are in the process of being built, most especially the project at KR and 31, the regenerative stormwater conveyance system. Right across KR is an identical floodplain project that was incorporated as part of the stormwater conveyance system that they're finishing now. The leadership of NACD stood in awe with their mouths open at the expanse and the complexity of the project. The comment was, this is the gold standard, this is what the entire country should be doing. So if you have any questions as to whether or not this is the right project and it's being done right, please put those questions aside. It's been vetted accidentally by some of the finest minds in land and water management and resource management in the country. The other thing to remember about the project is you've got the Army Corps of Engineers in your back pocket here with this. That is an extremely unique opportunity. I see projects all over the state and all over the country, and I'll tell you, the level of commitment and the level of excitement, unheard of. Don't blow that opportunity. Please don't blow that opportunity. I understand that you're going to be bonding. You're putting some money out there at risk, potentially. But the return on that investment for your constituents, for the taxpayers, for the agricultural community, for public health is immeasurable compared to what you're going to be putting into it. So our association, the members, we highly encourage this project. We support it very strongly. And as a neighbor, I support it very strongly also. Love to see you do it. And if anybody has any questions for, on things I've talked about, please speak up.
Upriver, they're going to pitch in a little bit for us, help us offset some of that.
No, we already did that. Okay.
All right. I believe we have just one more to ask you all.
Okay, great.
I promise to keep it brief.
Thank you.
I'm Nikki Payne. I'm with SewerPAC. Heard a little bit about what we've been doing. I do our public involvement and outreach. I'm here on behalf of the commission in support of the Pike River South Rehabilitation Plan. The commission first developed the comprehensive plan for Pike River back in 1983. The plan focused on improving floodplain quality. At that point in 1996, we amended that plan. So I'm trying to give you just a little bit of history that this has been going on quite a long time. This rehabilitation program would also implement numerous recommendations from the commission's Vision 2050 plan, which hopefully you guys have heard about. Such recommendations include preserving and enhancing environmental corridors and native habitats, providing opportunities for recreation and open space for the region's residents, and improving connectivity between communities for people biking and walking. The final part is, in 2017, the commission staff began a modeling effort to refine the Pike River South Branch floodplains based on more recent storms and topography. This more up-to-date work is being used by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and existing conditions. To date, the commission has invested over $70,000 in staff time to complete this work, which was used by the county as part of its match for the design effort. So just giving you a little history of what also has been put into that. And I'll finish this out with saying, as you can see, the commission has invested significant time and resources to produce technical work to improve the Pike River South Branch, and we are therefore in support of this rehabilitation effort.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just going to hand out a little bit of resolutions and letters of support that we've received from different organizations. We did email that to the committee before the meeting, and so you already have that electronically.
I do not want to railroad this through if the committee has further questions. If not, we could vote on this, but otherwise I would recommend that we possibly try to finalize our budget on Monday evening before Public Works. I know some of you serve on that committee. That would give us sufficient time to notice the meeting, and it would minimize the amount of people having to make a special trip. Supervisor Rodriguez?
I was going to make that point. I think that's what I did.
Okay. So I'm happy to vote if the committee is comfortable voting on this tonight. If you would prefer to continue this meeting Monday, then we could do that. I'll leave that up to the committee.
Well, I guess I'll go along either way, vote tonight or on Monday. The only thing I'm going to keep myself.
I understand, right.
If we vote tonight, I'm going to vote no against this.
Right.
If we vote with, again, that flip-flopping.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the idea that I'm going to look into it a little more than what we have to do so far. And not to change my vote at the Public Works meeting.
Absolutely.
So, if it's okay with everyone else, I would prefer to postpone it until Monday, just before the Public Works. So, we don't have to do it.
Supervisor Rodriguez, do you have a strong leaning one where we vote tonight?
Prefer to
delay? Okay.
I think, too, it allows, I don't know when Supervisor Mauer will return, but maybe she can be here for that.
Yeah. Okay. So, what time is the Public Works meeting on Monday?
6 o'clock.
Okay. Would 5:30 be sufficient, and would the committee be able to make it by 5:30? I know that's
5:15.
Zach, would you be able to? You'd be able to make it. Sandy, would you be able to make it on Monday at 5:15?
I'm supposed to be in Monaco, but I could try and come back.
Okay. All right. And Youth and Governance, there'd be no obligation, but you'd certainly be welcome. Okay. All right. So, motion that we adjourn this meeting for now. We'll resume Monday at 5:15. Motion by Supervisor Nudo, seconded by Supervisor Rodriguez. All in favor, please say aye. Youth and Governance. Any opposed, nay. All right. Committee members, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, nay. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight and contributing to this meeting.